You are listening to the Nerd Rage Renegades podcast. Catch the show every Wednesday on Spotify, Podbean, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
It's Sunday. Not a normal day, but we are here. Recording on a Sunday,
Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo. And yesterday was May the 4th be with you. And Free Comic Book Day.
That's right. What a segue.
It was a great segue. Free comics. I got my free comics. I still today, though, the one thing about comics is the price of comic books these days, man. Like, I had a conversation with someone the other day, probably one of my kids, and was like, I used to be able to go and get comics for like 50 cents an issue. That was cover price. 50 cents, 25 cents.
Like get them for nothing at garage sales and stuff.
Yeah, you get them for nothing. You go in now, a new book is $4.99 for a book. $4.99 a book. Unless it's something huge, like... let me see something. I want to see. So I got one of the books, and this was free for Free Comic Book Day. But, okay, so it's Absolute Carnage, which actually, this is good because it's Donnie Cates and Ryan Stegman are doing this book.
Yeah.
This is a double-sized book. So this book, if I had not gotten it for free at Free Comic Book Day, the cover price was $7.99. $8.
Damn.
And in about 6 months, this book will be worth $1.50. Right. This will be probably in the dollar bin at your local con. Not saying it's not a good book. I'm just saying it's not going to be something that's going to be so like astronomical that it's going to go up in price. A lot of these you'll see in that dollar book section.
Comics are weird, man, because like a character could come out along and it can go forever, and then somebody will drag that character out, you know, 30 years later, and the character's a hit, and then all of a sudden the first appearance from way back, now it's worth $1,000. It's just some throwaway character from 30 years ago.
Well, it's like, you know, Marvel's doing a new series, so this character's books are going to be all over cons, are going to be expensive. I mean, it happened with every character that came out, you know. Oh, She-Hulk's getting a series. And at the con, everybody's, you know, trying to hawk sensational She-Hulk books that I could buy for like $2 back in, you know, like a year before. And now they're up to like $50, $60, $100.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make any sense.
It's robbery. At cons, like people... prices are negotiable, no matter what it says. you can talk a guy down, usually, unless they're just a real hard ass about their prices. But like,
but then you could go to a shop and you can get the entire run of the Rawhide Kid for like $30,
right? Or like different mini series from characters, and you can find the whole series.
Yeah, you can find everything. The other thing I noticed, so check this out, right? So, as purveyors of the Silver Age, as we are, the Silver and Bronze Age, I'll say, and some Golden, yeah. Was going through the comic book store yesterday. Apparently, what Marvel's been doing is they have been re-releasing old, like, Bronze Age or Silver Age books with foil covers now. Like, I was seeing, like, Wolverines from, like, 1985 with foil covers. Or old X-Men from the 60s reprint with a foil cover. Why do I want a foil cover?
Nobody liked them when they came out. It seemed like
So I remember like when like X-Men back in the 90s, like early 90s run, right? I'm talking around the same time X-Men the cartoon series came out. And there was a couple foil covers, like, and you were just like, back then you were like, "Whoa, this is cool. Like, we've never seen this before." Nowadays, it's just like, I like perfect example. So I got this. This is issue one, second printing, by the way. This is second printing of Thundercats, okay? Of the new Thundercats series. And I was looking through it, and in the back, they have No Lie. Let me just look through this. One, two, three pages of all the variant covers. Jeez. Of one book.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm talking it's like that's cover A, cover B, cover C, cover I, cover U. I mean, like, literally they go all the way to cover Z A, Z B, Z C. Retailer exclusives.
How big are the print runs on each of those variants, too? Because there's a very select few collectors are going to buy every single one of those covers.
Right. Well, I look at this. It's like retailer exclusive for KRS Comics. Where the fuck is KRS Comics?
I don't know.
Spectral Comics. Eastside Comics. Crumbs World. Nerdtopia, 616 Comics, Paladin's Gate, Comic Corner, Buy Me Toys, Borderlands. Where are all these places? And why do I care? Oh, I gotta get the cover from No Mass Comics.
I'm telling you, since I haven't bought comics in a real long time, and the whole industry is in the toilet from what I understand, it's not doing well, and well, I don't get, like, why are they making all these variants?
oh, there's actually, here we go, retailer exclusive, Rob Liefeld Creations.
Yeah, I saw something about Liefeld. Liefeld put up a Thundercats cover, I think, the other day and was saying to go get it.
Now, like, the book's good. I ain't going to lie. The book's good. And, I mean, Dynamite's got some pretty impressive writers writing for them right now, because they've got Ennis, they got Gail Simone. Well, yeah, Gail Simone. Kevin Smith. Apparently George R.R. Martin has written stuff for Dynamite. Get your ass on the final two freaking Game of Thrones books you've been promising us for about a decade and a half. Tom Clancy puts out a new book every 6 months. Stephen King puts one out every third week. You can't finish two books? My word. Palmiotti's writing for him. Karen Gillan. Cullen Bunn, our good friend, Cullen Bunn.
So, I wonder what the percentages of people that just watch the market and invest in speculative, you know, profit and stuff for certain covers, and how many of those guys actually read the book, the original cover, just and actually read it. I imagine there's I don't know, there's got to be a lot of dudes that just don't even care about, like, what's in the book, because it seems like all these gimmicks and all this shit, like, there's a lot of shit writing going on at Marvel. A lot of shit writing going on in a lot of places, and you care more about what's in between the covers that before you care about the gimmick or, like, the foil cover or the other bullshit they do.
I mean, granted, used to love the Scotty Young covers.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's a fantastic artist, but I mean, I'm not going to buy
everyone.
Single one.
Okay, I will play. Okay, we all know every time there was a Howard the Duck variant cover, I bought it. But that's because I'm a Howard collector.
Certain characters that you like. Like, I bought a lot of Spider-Man variants that I thought were cool. And, like, some of them, I bought one that was, like, one out of 100. I think I paid like $95 for it just because it was a cool cover and it was like 1 out of 100 stores or something.
Or like the J. Scott Campbell variants were always good, you know, those type of books. But the thing with the market today, and I'm like looking at it, you know, the new books are expensive. Older books are going up in price because, you know, now that it's kind of the same with video games, you know, back in the day it was like, oh, these are just comic books and video games. But now that they're considered art, you know, these are not just considered comics and video games, they're now considered art. They're getting pricier and pricier and pricier, you know, and like there are so many titles, man. Like, I looked through, there were not just Marvel and DC, but all the other, you know, Image, Dynamite, Boom. There were so many books on the new release wall. There's just, it's saturated the market with how many books there are.
Yeah.
You know,
there was like, man, at the height of me getting my pull list, there was probably at least 6 or 7 different publishers I was getting books from.
Well, like, think about it. Remember DC, this was not too long ago. I mean, it's hard to believe it's been over 10 years or so, almost. DC was like, we have way too many books. We're cutting them down. The new 52. Cutting it down. And now there's so many more. And all these characters getting their own books. And it's like, why are these characters getting books? I can understand if they're like maybe like a 4-episode, like a 4-issue miniseries. But why are some of these characters getting books? Now, I will say, I did see 2 books for you there. And I don't know if they were Dynamite or who they were from. Might have been Image. I don't know. But there are new Dune comic books.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw a little bit about them. I don't...
Yeah, there's, like, House Harkonnen, and, like, the other house... Like, another one of the houses have, like, their own, like, comic now. So there's those. Yeah.
God Emperor series might be cool to see, just for the artwork and stuff, to see how they're going to interpret him and stuff.
See, that would have been, like, something I would have wanted to see, like, a Steranko. With, like, God Emperor, and, like, how Steranko would do it. Like, back in the 70s, like, 70s Steranko. But there's just so many books. And then I'm looking, what's cool about the store I went to, though, is like on those side walls, like they have multiple like little end kiosks where they have like full runs of like limited series, like Rawhide Kid, you know, the complete like 9-issue series for like $30. They had like the entire couple issue series of Ambush Bug, you know, so you can get like those type of things, which honestly, those are, truth be told, those are the books I look for now, are like things like Rawhide Kid and Red Wolf and things like that, because nobody's buying them. They're buying the big names. They're buying Spider-Man. They're buying X-Men. They're buying whatever's coming out from Marvel now. So those other books like Rawhide Kid, I can get for cheap.
Oh yeah, there's certain series you can get the whole run of because nobody liked it or whatever. go to your comic store and look in the back issues, and there'll be like a whole run of like some off the wall series that nobody bought.
So when I was checking out, this guy was actually looking through these things with one of the guys who works there, and they apparently were like books from the old Beauty and the Beast TV series with Ron Perlman and Linda Hamilton.
Yeah.
They were like these books, and I don't know if they were like fan books or like what, but they had like things that you never saw in the series and like lore and stuff like that of Vincent and all that. I was like, that's pretty cool, you know? And on the back wall, they had like the old like Batman, like Michael Keaton Batman trading cards, like still in box, like mint sealed in box.
I've got a whole. I think it's Batman 2, or I think it's Batman Returns. I've got a whole box of the unopened trading cards.
So like they had cool stuff, and I'm not complaining about comic book shops. I'm talking about the, you know, when I'm complaining about the industry. Especially when, you know, when we were young, we didn't know, you know, our books, we'd roll them up, put them in our back pocket, take them around with us. You know, we weren't like slabbing them and shit.
No.
We were putting Ken Griffey rookie cards in our bike spokes.
I don't know. I guess, I mean, it's a way, the way I always look with those grading slabs, it's like, I mean, they're good to preserve the, like, if you've got a really good copy of something, it's good to preserve at least one copy of that, you know? Especially if it's some really old book that's fucked up already and needs to be not touched by people.
If it's like Action Comics number 1.
Yeah, you'd want to slab that.
Yeah. But, I mean, if it's Captain Carrot number 3, you know, I'm not going to...
Yeah, I've seen some wild books.
I'm not sending Captain Carrot to CGC.
I mean, I guess I don't know. I used to be a lot harsher on it than I am now. I just don't care anymore. But I mean, but if I mean, it's I guess it's okay if like you really, if you're buying multiple copies of something, why not slab one of them, I guess? I don't know. But you never know. Like I said, there somebody will come up with a character and put it in a book, 15 years ago that nobody remembers, and then somebody like Hickman will drag it up out of fucking
Out of
nowhere, and it'll
nowhere.
be a big hit, and all of a sudden your first appearance of this weird character is worth $10,000 or something.
Yeah, how much you want to bet first appearance of Cassandra Nova is about to go up with Deadpool coming out?
Possibly.
Deadpool Wolverine. We're gonna see Cassandra Nova going up. People are gonna be like, "Oh, I want to know more about Pyro." They're gonna be looking for all the Pyro comics.
Well, I remember
And
it really
I don't
depends
remember the last
because
time I saw Pyro in a comic.
Fuck, man, I don't either. It was I think he was in some X-Men series not too long ago. But yeah. Weird obscure characters. Like it doesn't it kind of depends on who it is too, because like the I do remember like the I had my first appearance of Hela went up after the Thor movie. It
Right, yeah.
got pretty pricey after that.
My of course my first Shang-Chi went up. Even Howard, after being in Guardians for like a cameo, went up. But there was one I wanted to buy, and I might go back and buy it, but they had like the complete series of like X-Men Spotlight, the Starjammers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I kind of want that. 'Cause you know what? I mean Scott Summers got a hot stepmom. He got a hot alien stepmom. I mean, come on now. Come on now. Come on. But I mean, I did have fun going to a comic book store again. It was fun to be able to go in there and talk comics. Like I started talking with one guy, and I think he was there with his son. I was there with my
People
kid.
dress, did people dress up this time?
Not at that store. But this one guy, I think he was with his son, and I was with my kids. And he was telling his son, you have all these books, and it was real funny because we got talking about it. He was telling his son, look, you can buy any of these books you want. They're not going to be worth anything. And I was like, yeah, they're really not going to be worth the paper they're printed on. And he's like, yeah, you remember back in like the 90s when people were buying 50 books? I'm like, you remember when Death of Superman came out and people would buy like one to read and five to put in that bank vault because they knew Death of Superman was going to be worth $100 million one day, and now it's not even worth nothing.
I'm telling you, no, I'm telling you that Death of Superman, the black bag, won the issue. I went to an antique mall just over the border in Wisconsin, and I'm telling you, I bought a box of, I think I can't even remember how many comics it was for like $50, like fill a whole box of comics, and there was probably 10 copies of that still sealed in there, like just practically worthless.
Yeah, they weren't really, I mean, not worth much. Not worth much.
I just took all that they had a big box of comics. I just took them all and they gave them all to me like for $50, pretty much. I think I left a
Hey,
few in
$50 bucks for a box of comics, that ain't
Yeah,
nothing to
and that
sneeze
was
at.
years ago, man. They'd probably charge double for it now, surely.
Probably. I mean it was fun. I've read through some of these that I got. It's fun to sit there and read again. I've been realizing that over the last week or so, segue. I'm at that point in life where I've basically started saying fuck it to everything. Just fuck it. Because
Just
I've
got there,
realized I just got there. I find it was a long road to get there. You can't, there's not like a straight road to fuck it. I mean, if you're going to travel to fuck it, you got to make sure you have like a packed lunch because it's going to take you a while to get to fuck it.
yeah.
I mean, it's way out there. It's
Uh-oh,
past the border
we froze.
to get to fuck it. But once you get to fuck it, I mean, it's a great place to be. I mean, the nightlife in fuck it is great. But you get to fuck
Whoa,
it.
what happened?
You there?
Yeah, oh, hello, you there?
Hey, yeah.
Oh, I lost you for a second. I think
Glitch in the
my phone
Matrix, probably.
my phone went to switch from, because I turned on the Wi-Fi because I thought the connection would be better, and
Yeah.
it switched from LTE in the middle to For some reason, the internet dropped out for a second, and it went to switch to my LTE, and it froze up for a second.
Well, what I was saying was, you know, if you're going to go to Fuck It, if you're going to visit Fuck It, you got to bring a lunch, because it takes a while to get to Fuck It. There's a lot of road closures on the road to Fuck It, you know, and traffic backups. You know, you could sit in a 40 to 2 hour to 3 year traffic jam when you're trying to visit Fuck It.
Yeah,
but if you're trying to move like and me, live in Fuck
the,
It,
you hit the express lane and you get there quicker.
Yeah, unless they said, you know what, the Easy Pass is closed today. You know, if you decide to go on the day and Easy Pass is closed, it's like, well, God damn it, I'm just trying to get the Fuck It. But you get the Fuck It, and you realize, you know, all the shit you've been through in life, all that fucking bullshit. Why keep trying to find the same bullshit that you were in? You know, I have found out I am happy being a single motherfucker.
Well, yeah, for a little while at least, man. Why don't enjoy it?
Oh, I'm going to enjoy it for a long time. I can go where I want, when I want, do what I want, whenever I want. I'm sitting there, I was like, you know what? The other day I was driving. I was like, I want a Coke float from freaking Cookout. I went to Cookout and I got myself a goddamn Coke float. You know why? Because I could, and nobody could tell me no. Nobody could be like, well, do you really need a Coke float? Well, no, I wanted a fucking Coke float. Don't matter if I need one. I want one. I'm going to go get it. You know, for 10 plus years, I wanted to get my piercings redone in my ear. Boom. Went and did it. Scheduled for a new tattoo in July. I'm going to put some money away. I'm getting a brand new tattoo in July. The first of many that I'm getting, because I've always wanted more tattoos. But of course, I was always told, no. We got other money to spend on. You can't get a tattoo right now. Yeah, well, fuck it. It's my money.
You're getting the Tyson face tattoo, right?
Damn right. I'm getting and then I'm going to fight Jake Paul. I'm fighting Jake Paul afterwards.
Just in a parking lot. Not
just in a parking lot. Me and Jake Paul. We're gonna fight over a bag of Funyuns. That's it. You know, it's a sanctioned fight over a bag of Funyuns. That's what we're doing. I am watching that fucking fight. I don't give a shit. I am gonna watch that fight. I'm gonna get pizza and wings, and I'm gonna fucking watch that shit.
I would hope that it doesn't last 20 seconds, but I kind of do hope it lasts 20 seconds.
I hope Mike comes out there and hits him like he would Little Mac in the NES game, just one punch and down.
It's so hard to tell if it's going to be legit or not, or if it's just going to be some pussyfoot nonsense for some money, you know?
They said it's a sanctioned fight.
I hope it's straight up just pounding away, because if they let Tyson loose on that dude, I don't think he's gonna survive that fight. Tyson's a monster. Even at his age right now, he's a monster.
He'll kill him, and then he'll get his pigeon and his ghost and his Asian his adopted daughter, and they'll solve the mystery of who killed Jake Paul.
Oh fuck! There's nothing funnier than Mike Tyson mysteries. That's one of the funniest things.
Man, Norm MacDonald, rest in peace, my friend. We've said it before on the show. Rest in peace, Norm MacDonald.
Who would have thought? You would have never thought that. What a great cast Norm MacDonald and Mike Tyson would be. But it's great.
Richard, man, we ain't got time for bird sex. Ain't got no time for bird sex. But no, I'm watching that shit. I'm gonna get everything I want for it. It's gonna be fun as hell to watch that shit.
I'm not gonna pay a bunch of money. I'm gonna watch it later when it's free.
It's gonna be free. It's on Netflix.
Oh, is it? I don't even.
Yeah,
have
it's
Netflix
gonna be.
Right
a, it's on Netflix.
Maybe I'll have to get it for a minute I can watch.
Small victories. I just gotta put this out here. Small victories. Hulu and Disney Plus apparently, and of course I missed the email because I don't pay attention when they come in, have said no more password sharing. You see this? They're doing the Netflix thing. No more password sharing for Hulu and Disney Plus.
Well, now, for me, you know what? I think it's just going to piss people off. It doesn't help them at all.
It's going to piss somebody off. And like I said, small victories for me. I'm not going to say much more, but if you know, you know. But because I was going on there last night, because Fury Road's on Hulu. Fury Road's on Hulu. So I went on Hulu. I wanted to watch Fury Road. So I went to Hulu and I couldn't log in. I'm like, wait, what's going on? Go to Disney Plus. Couldn't log in. So I had to like switch passwords and everything. And I found out through reading everything, oh, you can't password share anymore. So Disney's like cracking down and all this other stuff. But I also found out somebody, not me, had put that they wanted HBO Max on my Hulu account.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. I didn't authorize that shit. So took care of that fast and in a hurry. I mean, I've already watched Game of Thrones 5 times. I don't need HBO Max right now. There's nothing on there, What am I going to do? Am I going to watch the second season of Velma?
I'll tell you what's totally worth getting and what I have, and it's all that I have. I have Prime because we do a lot of shipping and stuff, and we order a lot of stuff through Amazon because it's just cheaper to do it that way. Yep. And we have Prime, and the thing I recommend for entertainment more than anything is YouTube Premium. Because YouTube Premium, there's no commercials in anything. You don't have to sit through any commercials, and it's fucking awesome. You can watch old series, and it just runs the whole, like, you can watch just old, man, there's a section in there. I just watched all of H.R. Puffin stuff, and I started watching it's got all the Sid Marty Krofft stuff on it, all of it.
So I've been looking at that, because the thing that I hate is, like, when I'm watching a video, right? I hate watching a video, and then all of a sudden, like, it doesn't even seem like it would be a place for a commercial or an ad. Yeah. But they pop these ads in, like, the weirdest fucking places.
Yeah, and it kills the momentum of whatever you're watching, too.
Yeah, you have to get especially back if into I'm it. Watching, you know, if I'm watching the four-hour-long compilation of, you know, season 5 of The Angry Video Game Nerd.
Yeah.
I was listening to it was like 2.5 hours, like the complete mythological history of Greek myth from beginning to end. But like every 5 minutes, it was like ad.
Yeah, I hate that. I can't take it. That's why I don't spend money on anything except that YouTube Premium and Amazon Prime is all you really need. You can get anything. Every movie you can rent. Anything that comes on Amazon to stream, it's always on YouTube too. So I mean, it's like everything's on YouTube. And I know they fuck over creators and they've got weird fucking censorship policies and all that shit. But I think it cannot be beat if you want to watch old movies and just old weird shit.
I mean, pretty much with YouTube, if this video if we start putting our stuff on YouTube, right, which I think is the plan for the future, I do believe. We would have already been demonetized for this because I said fuck it like 20 times.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You can get it's a lot of people. What a lot of people have been doing is they get sponsors that they do like in show ads and stuff.
Yeah,
and they read out sponsors. So then fuck YouTube. You know who cares? But yeah, but yeah, it's I would hate to have to censor how I talk. Maybe we could put something on Rumble too, so we.
Yeah, I mean, don't you censor me, bitch? This is America. This is America. Yeah,
that's why I wouldn't. You know, I'm not.
I got freedom
worried
of speech in America.
I'm not worried about jumping through language hoops for monetization, really, that much. I think that will come. I think that if you're good, if you have a good show, it's going to come anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. So what we were talking about before we started recording, before we went on the air, talking about the Aliens franchise.
Yeah. Let's jump into this.
Let's jump into this.
Half an hour in, we're going to jump into
half
this.
Half an hour in, we're finally going to jump into Alien because, you know, Romulus had, you know, the teaser for Alien Romulus came out, I guess, about a month ago. I'm late to the party. I just saw it. I'm a huge Alien fan. Well, let me preface. I'm a fan of Alien. I'm a fan of Aliens. Didn't much mind. Prometheus and Covenant were fine. Alien 3 can go fuck itself.
I thought they were pretty good.
Didn't like Alien 3. Didn't like Alien Res. Well, the only part of Alien Resurrection I liked was Ron Perlman. I'm sorry, if Ron Perlman's in it. I love anything Ron. I mean, like we were talking about, put that man in beast makeup, and he's golden in my book. You know,
he doesn't even need it.
He doesn't even need it, or make him red and let him go kill things. He's the only Hellboy I see. You know.
I don't think they put any prosthetics when he was in Quest for Fire. I don't think they put any prosthetics on it.
I don't think so.
I think it's just his face. Everybody else had Neanderthal prosthetics. I don't think Ron Perlman had them.
So, but we were also talking about it because in the future we're planning to get back to playing some games together. We got two Alien games we can play, Isolation and Colonial Marines. But talking about there's a new Alien movie coming out. It's kind of reminiscent of the first movie. It looks like it's going to be a horror film, space horror, a lot of face huggers, a lot of things happening. It's being directed by the guy who directed, I guess he directed the Evil Dead movie, not the one before Evil Dead Rise. So like what they claimed was like the reboot or whatever, but it was more not like the reboot. So I'm very optimistic because I enjoyed that Evil Dead film. I enjoyed it.
I thought Evil Dead Rise was even better. I thought Evil Dead Rise was really good.
Wasn't it so good? I saw that in theaters. God, I loved it. God, I'm just sitting there going, "Mommy, you're hacked off. You're bloody. You've got weird fucking eyes, but goddamn, mommy."
That was goddamn great. Mommy. They went way further than I thought they'd be able to in that movie.
I think we talked about it back like a long time ago after I saw it. I think we did a show, an episode, and I talked about it. Where what I liked about Evil Dead Rise was the fact that most movies, horror movies, kids are off limits. You can't kill the kids. Evil Dead Rise said, "Fuck that shit. We're killing the kids."
Oh, they, lately, man, like Hereditary was like that. The little girl's head got knocked off by a phone pole or whatever.
What was I reading? I was reading something. The director of Hereditary did another movie. And what movie did he do?
Midsummer? Is that the
Midsummer. That's right. Midsummer.
Yeah, I've never seen that one yet. Yeah, I do too.
I got to see it. It's on one of the – I think it's on Hulu. I got to watch it because I want to see – like people say it's not like Wicker Man, but it's got like – tones of Wicker Man. Somebody was like, well, Wicker Man was like a cop investigation movie. This one's more is not like that. And I'm
I know a little bit about the plot, but I haven't really seen any of it.
Right. As long as it's not like Hostel, because Hostel movies, I just want everybody to die because they're a bunch of assholes. That's my problem.
I hate movies like that. I can't stand movies that are just that, you know? Just
that was my problem. So that was like my problem when Green Inferno came out. Well, one, my big problem was they were like, oh, this is like the second coming of Cannibal Holocaust. Fuck no, it wasn't. But I look at all the characters, I'm like, good, die. You're a bunch of assholes.
Well, for one thing, it's been done. It's been Cannibal Holocaust. That was a big deal because the guy had to go to court and shit over it. But
yeah. But I digress. Talking about aliens. I'm excited for a new movie. It's Ridley Scott's not directing it; he's producing it.
Director. I didn't know if he.
Yeah, he's producing it. It looks like it's taking place like. I don't know where it takes place. I think it's taking place like after the Nostromo, so it's kind of like somewhere in that area, like after the Nostromo.
It looks like there's pulse rifles and shit in it, from what it looks like to me. I couldn't see real good, but it looked like it had. It looked like a blending of. Like the James Cameron verse into the original Alien kind of verse.
Yeah, and that's what I want to see. I don't want to see like 50. I think what was good for why I liked the first two. I liked Alien because it was one alien on a ship in the middle of space. I liked Aliens because it was multiple, but they were confined in that compound. Then you get to Alien 3, and you just said, well, you know what, fuck it. We can't get Michael Biehn. We'll kill off his character. We don't need Newt. Let's kill off her character after the whole last movie was all about saving fucking Newt, and then you just axe her off right there in the beginning. You know, and then you had Alien Resurrection, and just, yeah. Okay, I will give Alien Resurrection. It not only had Ron Perlman, it had Brad Dourif, and we love Brad Dourif.
There were parts of that were cool. There were parts of that, that kind of reminded me of the Dark Horse comic series, where the the way the government had the embryos and were breeding them and shit.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I think you're gonna like Alien Colonial Marines, at least for the story. Now the gameplay is buggy, but the story takes place kind of like during Alien 3, but the Marines are sent back to LV-426 because of the distress call that Hicks put out. You play Marines. You can go through and find like the dog tags of like Vasquez. You can find like Hicks's dog tags, Vasquez's dog tags.
Oh, that shit's got real characters, names and stuff in it.
Yeah, you can even find like Hicks's shotgun. You can find Norman's pistol. You can get Vasquez's smart gun, Frost's flamethrower. So you can actually find like those characters. Like I don't know if it's because I bought it on Steam for like $5 and they give you everything. But like I started off with like Ripley's pulse rifle that has the flamethrower attached to it. You can find Hudson's pulse rifle, and they all shoot differently. So it's fun because you're actually at Hadley's Hope.
Don't they nuke it when at the end of the movie you go back, it's all nuked out and everything?
Parts of it is nuked. Yeah. Just well not the whole planet, but that one section of that like atmospheric processor went nuclear or something. But Weyland-Yutani has been back there since.
it's like almost like in Dune, like you think of like a nuclear reaction, but like just like in Dune, that there's like no residual radiation in those futuristic nukes. They vaporize everything and then they're just done. I assume that's kind of what that would be. So the whole area is not like super irradiated where you can't walk around.
I mean, it's a game. You can go back, you know, but I've played through it. I had fun with it because I've also gotten to the point. I've been enjoying going back and playing other games. Role play, it's been gotten stale. It's been getting boring. But going back and playing like these games or Chrono Trigger, you know, those type of things have been so much fun. So much fun. Or going back through and playing Resident Evil 7 again trying to remember, because I haven't played 7 in a while. I know everything in it, but it was like remembering most of it. Because Village, I know like the back of my hand, but like facing Jack Baker all over again and Marguerite and shooting her in her freaking like pussy because it's like just a giant beehive now and
Seven's was a great kind of reboot to the whole franchise. Seven Village was too. I think both of them are fantastic. Best direction they could have took it in.
It was the best direction. And so also with Village, we also have the DLC Shadows of Rose, which is Ethan's daughter's story. So we have that.
I got all that when I got Village, when I bought it, when I downloaded it.
Like the gold edition or something like that, or like the Winter's expansion. Yeah. It's good shit. And like it also
I haven't got to any of that yet. I'll get to it eventually.
It's good. Shadows of Rose is real good. It's not hard. There's some things you got to learn, like especially when you get to the house with the dolls. There's like things you got to do there. I love going back and replaying those games, and just how much fun they are. And that's what I've really been also like kind of learning is like I like playing things and having fun, or late night just shooting shit on Aliens. Not like playing Call of Duty. I can't play Call of Duty. But things like Aliens or Bendy and the Ink Machine. It's fucking you're in a crazy, scary, freaking old animation studio.
Yeah.
It's pretty much Disney gone crazy.
I used to stream a lot of horror. Quite a few horror games when we had the stream set up through my PlayStation. Yeah,
Bloodborne a lot.
Yeah. What was that? I can't. Steve. No, it wasn't. Gary. Gary was my Gary. Character. I mean, it looked as much.
Oh, no. Wasn't Christie. Gary. You were playing Evil Within. You're playing Evil Within.
Yeah,
and it was Gary.
No, it was Steve in Evil Within. Steve. That was actually the character's name, but he was a real idiot in the game. He kept fucking up. So they just made Steve a running joke. But then, yeah, the guy I made Gary in Bloodborne. I made him look like a weird mix of like Conan O'Brien and Richard Christie from the Howard Stern Show. He's this big doofusy looking guy. But I'm terrible at Bloodborne too. So I was. There was a clip of me screaming about punching a werewolf up his ass, and somebody clipped it and put it online somewhere.
So, like you made somebody who looks like, you know, like you say, Christie. I would make one that looks like Chris Christie. Just a big, fat governor of New Jersey going around killing people.
Oh, man, that Conan game where you could make the character, you could, like, put a dick on him and stuff. Mm-hmm.
You can do that in Cyberpunk too. You can actually, like, you never see it, but you can choose whether or not your character is genitalia or not.
You
can
see it in the Conan game.
I know, Milton used to do that. Milton used to do that. Yeah. Like the Dong of the North, and his dick was like 3 miles long.
Those modded games used to kill me, man. With like Djibouti would do the Mrs. Thornhill, or she would just run down the street and take off into the sky like Superman.
There's so much out there, and like I said, that's what I've been finding that I've been enjoying. You know, like the last couple nights, I've been playing Chrono Trigger again, and just remembering how much I loved that game, you know, when it first came out, and being able to have it on my computer. And if you liked Bloodborne, I've got one called Lies of P. And it's that Pinocchio, Bloodborne, Dark Souls type game.
Yeah, I don't even know what all the fucking lore is to Dark Souls and Bloodborne and all that shit. Bloodborne's the Elden first Ring. Game, I'm guessing, right? That's how far back does it even go? I've only got Bloodborne because the guy gave it to me. So I've only got that game, so I don't know any of the fucking lore besides what I know from that, from Bloodborne.
It goes back because you got, like, Dark Souls... Dark Souls 2, Dark Souls 3, Bloodborne.
Djibouti's into that Dark Souls shit like heavy. They're always talking about it.
I like Lies of P. It's hard as hell, but it's fun because, you know, it is like in a universe. And you have like Geppetto and all that. So it's fun. But it's those things that I've realized, man. I mean, we've been doing this for a while and just coming through all the bullshit and all the just all the crap. I've literally just said life is now mine to live. And that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I was telling Jess today, I said, you know, we've been doing the show like over 10 years now. And I said, the whole thing, it truly is. A rage inspired show. I was like, we've been doing this because we got mad at a lady on Twitter, so we started a podcast. So we've been doing it for 10 years because we got mad at a lady once.
We got mad at a lady on Twitter. I mean, that's what our whole world is. That's what the world in general is based off these days. People getting mad at people on Twitter.
I mean, it was for a reason. It wasn't just because she was a lady. It was just it was a rude statement she had made. And Evan spends like, oh, God damn it, we're starting to show. we're gonna run her off the goddamn internet.
Well, we kind of did.
Well, she's gone. She don't do a show anymore. We never really went after her for any reason, but
no. But that's the thing. You're like, I found that guy again. That fuck it, somebody pisses me off, I'm gonna go and make a show or whatever. I found that guy again. I found my love of stuff again. You know, if I want to say I am a 40-year-old man that likes to watch Bluey, fuck it. I am going to tell you because I do. I like to watch Bluey. Anybody who doesn't watch Bluey.
Seen that.
Oh, dude. You would love Bluey, man. Here's the reason why. Yes, Bluey is a kid show. But it's a show that, like, it doesn't beat you over the head of, like, this is a kid show, but there's things for adults. Like, the father is, like, my spirit animal. So there's an episode I absolutely love called Unicorse. And Bluey will not go to bed. So Bluey's mom is like, okay, I'll read you a story. Well, the dad shows up with a unicorn hand puppet named Unicorse, and he is the most annoying character of all time. He'll sit there and be like, Unicorse, you have to be this. And why should I care? And he just keeps yelling and being a nuisance. And finally, he like tries to like they tap him on his shoulder, and he goes and gets like another hand puppet that's his lawyer, and they're gonna sue for freaking because the puppet got hurt. And it's fun. There's cute moments. There's moments that'll make you cry. Though I like those shows nowadays. Like I like The Owl House. I like Amphibia. Those are two great shows from Disney. Why you got rid of them, Disney? Because you're dumb as fuck. You know, that, and then you get stupid shit.
Not having kids or anything, I'm just totally not aware of half of that shit, man.
Like, okay, so my daughter got me into Owl House and Amphibia. And yeah, it's an episodic show, but the overall story is so good on both. You know, so Owl House is girl ends up in this place called the Burning Isles, which is basically the demon realm. She gets taken in by this old witch called the Owl Lady.
Is that anime? What was that?
It's animated. Okay, it's animated. Okay. But the story is real good. Amphibia, this girl and her two friends, they find this, they steal this music box from a pawn shop, and when they open it, they get transported to this world of basically amphibians, and they get separated. So the main girl is like living with this frog family. And the old grandpa frog is actually voiced by Bill Farmer, who voices Goofy. And it's her trying to like, oh, and what's his face? He was Bill Dotrieve in freaking in King of the Hill. He voices like the mayor toad in there. And it's so funny. He's like, well, thank you. Yes, welcome to the Toad World. You know, but he also is like also in like Gravity Falls. If you've seen Gravity Falls,
oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he was like,
I saw all of that actually. I do know that show.
Yeah, so he also did the voice of, like Little Gideon's father, who's like a used car salesman. Oh, and in Amphibia, since all those creators are like friends, there's actually an episode of Amphibia where they find. This roadside mystery shack, and inside is a frog version of Grunkle Stan.
there's a connection to Rick and Morty and Gravity Falls too. I guess they're supposed to exist in the same universe or something.
Rick and Morty lives in like the same universe as everybody because they've been on The Simpsons. I think they've been on like Family Guy, and I guess it's still growing strong even after they got rid of Justin Roiland, you know, for all his harassment and stuff that he did.
Yeah, I don't even know what he did. I thought that show was funny. I'm probably just like two seasons of it, but I liked the first part of it.
And gotta give a shout out to H. John Benjamin, because there's that new like movie coming out like about a boy or boy kills something, and he's like the inner voice of the boy. And it's H. John Benjamin. It's Bob from Bob's Burger. I got to give that guy some fucking mad props and credit, man. He I'll watch it, and there's a commercial with two freaking like computer animated pigeons, and one of them sounds like Bob. Because it is. It's him.
Hey, Lance.
Oh, hi, Bob. Take a drink from me, Bob.
I will. Len. Len.
I still love that show, but it seems like, is that still on? Like, they make a new episode? I think they are, but I don't see it on, like, the Sunday animation domination. It's like Grimsburg now and other things.
I'm pretty sure it's still, I think there's a new season coming out of that.
But I think they moved Family Guy to Wednesdays. I think.
Well, it got robotic for a second. What?
I like they move like Family Guy to Wednesdays or something like that.
I have no idea, man. I don't even, like I said, I don't have any regular TV access or know any of that.
Right.
I just usually watch YouTube anymore or whatever's on Prime. But I'll tell you, man, I watch the weirdest shit, man. All the, like I said, I just watched all the Puppet stuff. I think I've seen every Now I have seen every Sidney Toler Charlie Chan movie. I've seen all of Basil Rathbone's Sherlock Holmes probably three times over. I've seen Ronald Howard. Sherlock Holmes is a big thing. I always watch Sherlock Holmes shit. But man, I find weird like old Vincent Price. There's like 7 hours of Vincent Price's horror radio show that he used to do.
Welcome to my horror show. Yeah, you're going
it's
to have so
exactly
much fun being with the macabre tonight.
The cobra.
This is Vincent Price.
Yeah,
well,
that's kind of exactly what it sounds like when he's narrating.
Speaking of things like that, we do have to light the beacons today because Theoden King, Bernard Hill, passed away today.
Yeah, I saw that. He was 79.
79. So the King of Rohan is dead. Even after he died on the Pelennor Fields.
Yeah, he was already dead, kind of.
He was already dead. He died at the Pelennor Fields. But, you know, not only was he, you know, Theoden, he was in Titanic. Probably the best role in Titanic. I mean, he was the captain. That's the only character I gave two shits about in that movie.
I didn't even know that. I saw that side by side picture today. It's like you'd never recognize the guy. It looks like two different guys.
He was in one of the movies that we really talked about a lot at one point. He was in Ghost in the Darkness.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, really?
Our favorite Twin Lions that we went and saw. He was in The Scorpion King with Rock the Dwayne Johnson.
The Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah. The Dwayne Johnson. Rock the Dwayne Johnson. Of course, you know, so many other things that he was in. Probably the most well known was his 1996 role in The Wind in the Willows. Everybody loves The Wind in the Willows.
Yeah, but not the 1996 version.
Okay, I mean, come on, the 1996 version. You had Terry Jones was in this movie. Nicole Williamson, who of course we all know was Merlin in Excalibur.
I'm a big fan of the animated Wind in the Willows myself.
Actually, I'm looking at the cast for this 1996 Wind in the Willows, and holy fucking shit, man. So, yeah, Terry Jones, Nicole Williamson, Graham McTavish, who was Dwalin in the Hobbit series, Steve Coogan, who was in, like, the Night of the Museum movies, John Cleese was in it, Stephen Fry, Michael Palin, Eric Idle, Bernard Hill...
Monty Python's The Wind in the Willows.
It was pretty much it is. It's like Monty Python's Wind in the Willows. Oh, Nigel Planner. This really is. This is Monty Python presents Wind in the Willows. You mean you pretty much have everybody? I mean, yeah. What, Terry Jones, Cleese. The only ones you didn't have were Terry Gilliam and
Graham Chapman.
Graham Chapman, but I think he was already dead by that point.
Yeah, he was already gone.
But I mean,
by 90, was it 96?
Think so.
I think he might have. I can't remember when he died. He might have still been around then. Probably really sick. Probably not doing anything. If he was alive, I don't even know what year he died.
Let's see. Graham Chapman died in 1989.
Really? Wow, that's. Makes me feel real old.
Think about it. Monty Python and the Holy Grail was 1975. Life of Brian was 79.
75 is the year I was born.
Doesn't seem like you would think, like when you look at like Holy Grail and Brian, you think those are like 80s movies. But they were 70s movies.
Oh, yeah. I think George Harrison used to finance some of those movies too, I think.
I think he did Brian. I think it was Life of Brian that he did.
I think you might be right on that.
I want to say it was Life of Brian. Let me see here. Is it Life of Brian? Let me see here. Yep. George Harrison set up handmade films to help fund the film at a cost of £3 million. Harrison put up the money for it as he wanted to see the movie. So George Harrison was like, I want to see this movie, so I'm going to pay for it to be made.
I always thought Monty Python did a fantastic job of, for what the budget on those things were, for making them look really good.
Yeah,
like the Holy Grail, the locations and shit are just perfect, and like the The and Life of Brian too. Just everything is perfect about those.
They're perfect films. I even like Monty Python and Something Complete or The Meaning of Life. I enjoyed Meaning of Life because it was just it wasn't like a straight narrative like Holy Grail was or Life of Brian, but it was all the sketches, like, you know, part one, birth, and you're like in the hospital. He's like, you are going to have a baby, and the guy's like, oh, and what sort of thing is that? And they're like, it's when the baby comes out of a mummy's tummy. Oh, and I see you have the machine that goes bing, and then they're like, birth, third world, and the baby just falls out of a woman. And it's like, oh, we've had another. We've got another. And they got like 50 kids, and then they go in like the whole thing of like, why do they have so many kids? Well, that's because they do not believe in condoms. So every time they have sex, they have a child. Me, we are Protestant, which means I can put a little condom on my John Thomas, and that means you will not get pregnant. Just things like that, man. Like, where is that shit nowadays?
I thought the I always liked the Galaxy songs in that too. That's fantastic. But the the part before it where it's like the organ donor guys show up. Like,
oh, the live organ
donor. I'm still using it. Don't be a baby.
Well, how did we die? You ate the salmon pate, but I didn't eat the pate. Or like the guy chose like the way he dies, and it was just him being chased off a cliff by a bunch of like big boobed women running after him. And of course, everybody's favorite song, "Isn't It Wonderful to Have a Penis? Isn't It Great to Have a Dong?" That I miss these days. I miss those days. Now, granted, there's still some good stuff out there, like my dad getting me hooked on War and Peace. And I'm like, I'm not gonna like this. I'm not gonna like this BBC show. 20 minutes in, I'm like, why is this happening? Okay, who is this guy? Okay, this bitch better not be doing it to this bitch. Okay, this dude's an asshole. I want him dead.
Yeah, so I got. I watched one episode of. Me and Jess were watching. We watched Sherlock with Cumberbatch when it was first coming on. I was like, well, God damn, that was fucking badass. We gotta keep watching this.
That's the way I am. Like,
all that. I've seen that series a couple of times now, too.
I want to watch this new one. It's been out for a couple of weeks now. I want to watch... It's on Hulu. I want to watch this one called Shogun.
Oh, yeah. Somebody was telling me on Twitter not too long ago to watch that. It was good. I always think of the old... what's his face? Richard Chamberlain Shogun from way back. The old TV movie.
I thought for a moment you were going to say David Carradine in Kung Fu.
No. Way cool though. Great series there. Oh, I don't know about Shogun, but Kung Fu is where it's at.
Well, like, I'm a huge fan. I actually watched it today because I woke up today. I was having like a headache. I probably rolled over on my ear in the middle of the night and it was hurting. It's not infected or anything, just you know new piercing, you roll over, oh my god. But I watched The Last Samurai, which is one of my favorite movies. I love that movie. Even, yes, it is a Tom Cruise movie, but I love The Last Samurai. It's the one where, you know, the army guy from the Civil War goes to Japan and then gets captured by the samurai and all that. Love that. So I want to watch Shogun. So I've really been finding I love these period piece movies. Like, I'm enjoying these period piece movies and shows more so than a lot of others that are out there, because there's so many cop dramas, so many procedurals or stuff like that. Of course, me and my dad did watch Oak Island today.
Yeah.
We had it on DVD, you know. Hell, because they got that water coming in. They got that, you know, because they drilled down from the, you know, for the money pit, and that water started coming in. So they think there might be a man, you know, the man-made water.
Yeah, yeah. The flood tunnel.
The flood tunnel, because they went into the baby blob.
Hell yeah, man. I love
man, I'm with it, man. I am with it. Of course, Billy's the man. I wish I could be Billy. I would give my right arm to be Billy.
I don't know how many years, probably like 10, 12 years. I've never missed an episode of Oak Island. I have watched it every single episode since it's been on. I read the same exact thing that guy, when Rick Lagina talks about the Reader's Digest article on Oak Island. I read that same fucking article from in like a compilation of like Reader's Digest articles thing. It was like all the weird stories from Reader's Digest. And I read that when I was a kid, like a long time ago, and just I remember flipping out that there was this treasure somewhere that no one had ever found, and I would just, and then I saw they were going to go dig it up, I was like, oh hell yeah! So I've watched that series since the very start.
Well, now we got to wait because you know drilling season's over because the winter's coming.
Oh yeah, the last season finale was the last episode.
Yeah, yeah. So and they drilled down and all they got was like clay and sand, but they know there's metal down there.
Well, yeah, they did the water, they tested the water, and it's like full of gold and silver and stuff.
And I'm sorry, their scientist lady is it Emma. Your name's Emma. Oh, she's cute as hell. I'm sorry, I can say that she's cute as hell. You know, damn. But no, so yeah, I mean. I'm with you on it, man. I'm with it on you. We got to figure out. There's something down there, man. We got to find that money. We got to find that treasure.
Well, the great thing about it is that they haven't found it yet. So you can just pick it up right now where you picked it up. You don't even need to go back because they recap every goddamn thing every week. So you
know what I do love? Anything they find, that the bald guy. He's like the younger kind of bald guy with like the beard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's always like, wow. Oh my, wow! This could be from like 1600 BC. I mean, this could be the biggest find we ever found. Like they found that bead. He's like, oh my god, we found this bead. This bead. Oh, look at the bead. Well, like, he's so funny.
For people that don't know, if you're listening to this right now, you don't know what there is a chance that there could be anything from lost William Shakespeare manuscripts to the Ark of the Covenant. Buried on this island because it's heavily involved with the Templar Knights from the time of the Crusades, and so there's a chance that, and I think a lot of people personally, the Ark of the Covenant is a real object, whether or not it's in the Bible.
Yeah, but
the Bible is so fucking specific as to how it's to be built and the dimensions of it and how and what it's made of,
and yeah,
everything, that it almost has to be a real thing. That used to exist at some point in history, a real object, and whatever stories they tell about it, whatever. But I'm just saying it's a real box covered in gold somewhere. Yeah, and
somewhere,
and they're saying it could be buried there, Indiana Jones style, man.
I know. I mean, where's Noah's Ark? How does something that big? I mean, did they use the wood to build like homes?
It's stuck.
I mean, that would make sense somewhere. Though, right? I mean, if the whole world is flooded. You have this gigantic wooden boat that you had all these animals on. All you got to do, you know, rinse it out, you know, get all the feces out of there because it's going to stink a bit. You know, get a little rinse out of there. Maybe get a magic sponge, you know, magic eraser on there on the walls. And then you can just make some houses out of that. Noah and his family because, you know, now they're the only ones like left on the planet. So there's oh, my God, we're all products of incest, aren't we? Think about it. Think about it. If he flooded the whole world and the only family was Noah's and they had to repopulate the earth, we're all products of incest.
Well, yeah.
It's just like the movie Sausage Party is a zombie movie.
I think that I think there's a lot of like weird like misinterpretation of shit in the Bible. I don't know what those story, who wrote those stories or whatever, but I'm sure they were all meant for lesson teaching of pretty primitive thinking people at the time.
They've
been
know.
Reinterpreted by different people. It's like, who knows what the original story of that is?
I know. Because when all of a sudden done, it's the camera's gonna pan out and there's Bugs Bunny with the freaking Bible going, ain't I a stinker? You know, like when he was fucking around with Daffy Duck and Duck Amuck. That's the way it is. I mean,
Daffy Duck into that four-legged thing with the flag on his tail,
with the screwball sign, and he had the flower around it. You know what? That's something we need to do on the show at some point. Like our top 10 like favorite Looney Tunes cartoons. Like what were the Looney, like, because we both grew up on Looney Tunes. what are the Looney Tune cartoons that we that stick with us to this day that we still remember?
You could specific cartoons, but I could definitely name like my favorite like gags they did. Like I love it when Foghorn Leghorn is just like whistling to himself and walking along just real calmly, and then he just walks over and grabs the dog by the tail and like paddles him like 100 times and then runs. That's my favorite. Oh, the dog's chasing him.
What did I see the other day? I saw a meme and it was Simba from The Lion King, right? And he looks up at the sky and the clouds form and it's Foghorn Leghorn. He's like, listen here, son. Listen here. Look at you. Look at you. Your uncle done killed me, boy. I mean, it was your uncle. Your uncle killed me, son. I say it was your uncle. And now you're out here eating grubs. Boys, eating grubs. Eating grubs are too high stoners. Why are you eating grubs with stoners, boy? That ain't the way to do it. Get yourself up, boy. Go on back there. And he's just like Foghorn Leghorn berating freaking Simba. I'm like, I would love that version. Like, that's the crossover I want. Let's have Looney Tunes, like crossover and just, like, invade Disney cartoons. I would fucking love that.
Yeah, Roger Rabbit was the closest that you got so far.
The closest we'll get was Roger Rabbit, which I loved Roger Rabbit. Loved it. But, could you just see, I don't know, you know, like, Moana or something going around and she's trying to find Maui and then there's Bugs Bunny and she's like, yeah, what's up, Doc?
She's
got to travel with Bugs or Daffy or something.
I actually went to Disney World right after Roger Rabbit, and they had like all the props and shit at Disney World, like on their like main, like the, you know, where they got like I think it's like their main street, whatever, their shops and shit, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they had it all decorated. Oh, it was like Dick Tracy was big then too, and like Roger Rabbit. So they had a bunch of stuff from Dick Tracy and Roger Rabbit there.
Now I want to watch that movie again. I want to watch Dick Tracy.
I can't remember if I've even seen the whole thing. I know. I remember.
I've seen it all.
I had to watch.
As a kid, I had to watch. You know,
I had a lot of stuff from Dick Tracy too. I don't know why. It's like they used to give away a lot of shit at like restaurants and crap for Dick Tracy.
Get this. Took the kids to McDonald's this past weekend. Guess what toys were in McDonald's? Captain America Brave New World. A movie that's not coming out for like another year. And they're already get ready for it. It's gonna be in a year. We're already pawning off our little toys on it.
We're bringing Marvel back with this one.
Yeah, you know what? That's what we need. We need to bring Marvel back in a big way. Let's bring back Captain America. No. I love Captain America. I do. Love Sam Wilson as Captain America.
I have little hope for future Marvel movies. I think they're just going to keep tanking. I don't know.
Unless it's Blade. I hope Blade is good.
I think there's certain things they could do to fix it, but they're not going to.
The report I'm seeing now? They want to bring the X-Men into the MCU, but they only want to focus on the female X-Men members. They don't want to focus on any of the guys. They only want to focus on the females.
And nobody wants that. Nobody wants it. Maybe there's like some people, like a very small group of people want that, but
I mean,
the vast majority of comic book fans don't.
I mean, if you're bringing them in and you're about to have Deadpool and Wolverine is going to be a big film. I think Deadpool and Wolverine is going to be big. And you got Wolverine. Why next would you focus on like Jean Grey, when half the movies that have been focused on Jean Grey have not been good? You've tried. Listen up, Fox and Marvel and all that. You all have tried to do the Dark Phoenix saga like 4 times. And the only one that got it right was the X-Men cartoon. None of your Dark Phoenixes were right because, one, you didn't make it a cosmic entity. You made it that she had, like, split personality and psychic powers. No, it was Gamma.
Live-action superhero thing's got to be... For me, even, I've loved this shit I can remember. I don't even... But for me, even back in the days of Lou Ferrigno... I didn't like the Lou Ferrigno Hulk series, but it was the only Hulk we had at the time. So you watch it, you try to enjoy it the best you can because the effects suck. But I mean, every one of these live action superheroes look ridiculous to me. Usually, I mean, there's certain ones that have been pretty cool. I thought like Captain America: Civil War was pretty badass, and yeah. But I mean, It's never going to look right. I've always been a fan of the animated stuff over any of the live action stuff any day of the week. The DC animated stuff is just mind-bogglingly good, I don't know. I wish they would have put more money into like really high quality CGI Marvel movies. Like that would have been fucking cool.
Well, with that note and on that rant, we will call it a night here. We want to thank everyone for joining us. We're going to be back next week with another episode. Stay tuned because you never know what we're going to talk about. Whatever we find that we want to.
Kind of went everywhere.
We go everywhere. Maybe we'll talk more Looney Tunes. But we'll see you next week on the Nerd Rage Renegade Show.
Good night, everybody.